Miles Reiterman likes to say, if you're lucky enough to live in Park City, you're lucky enough. Before Park City became known around the world as an Olympic host city and one of the country's premier mountain destinations, it was a community still shaping its future. And Miles had a hand in much of that transformation. He came to Park City in 1987 as planning director and soon after became the city's public affairs manager, serving from 1988 to 2007. Those were some really defining years for Park City, major growth and big questions about what kind of place the town wanted to become. Reiterman also founded Leadership Park City, which is a program that has helped educate and connect generations of local leaders. He also played a role in Park City's open space legacy with places such as McPolin, Barn, PC Hill, and Round Valley. So this is not just a story about a guy who came to town and considers himself lucky. It's a story about a guy who came to town and really helped shape the Park City we see today. Please welcome Miles Reiterman to the Community Campfire.
Hello, I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here.
You're here. Okay. Tell me about, what year did you move here?
Well, I first came here just on a visit in 1972. I was living in Crested Butte, Colorado. They needed someone up in Crested Butte in 1972 when I was working in Denver, and they thought that since I was a city planner and a lawyer, I knew how to run a town, which I had no idea how to do. But they didn't know how to do it either, because the young people had just taken over the town in the election. And someone said, oh, I know this guy Miles, and maybe he would come up here. And my wife was all in favor of that, so we went up there, and we were there 17 years. And I was giving a speech out in San Francisco. They said, well, you're going to go out to 80, which is being built, and you ought to stop off and see Park City. It looks just like Crested Butte. So I did stop off and see here, and it did look just like Crested Butte.
It did.
Which meant it was all boarded up and in shambles, and there was one restaurant that was open, which had opened the very week that I drove through in April 1972, the eating establishment.
Oh, no way.
And we ate there. So it had ferns. It was like a fern bar. And it was quite different then because it really was pretty boarded up. And then I was recruited to come here in 1986. The city manager then was the first woman city manager in Utah, Arlene Lobel. A lovely lady, and she heard me speak at I did a lot of speaking at conferences.
What were you speaking about?
About environmental issues and resorts. So my whole practice, my whole career has been pretty much on refurbishing old towns, natural resource towns, timber, mining, agriculture, that were nascent tourist destinations.
It's a niche career, right?
It's a niche career,
but
yeah.
But that's very cool.
Yeah, and it's just something I fell into. And Arlene Lobel, who I hadn't met, came up to me afterward, and she said, oh, I'm in charge of the magazine for the International City Managers Association. Would you write an article about what you spoke about, which was refurbishing old towns? Yeah. So I did. I wrote a little article, and then she published it in the magazine, I think in March. And then she called me, and she said, you know, we have an opening for a planning director. Would you consider coming over and talking to us about that job? And just interestingly enough, my wife and I had a conversation just serendipitously before she even called, saying, you know, well, we'd be happy living here 3 or 4 years from now when our kid has to go to school. And I said, no, maybe we should start thinking about other places. And then I got a call out of the blue from Arlene, and I came over here, and she offered me the job right away. And so I went back and told my wife, and she said, well, I don't know. And so I told them here, I said, well, I don't think my wife wants to come. And they said, well, why don't you send her here? Because I had to go to study Spanish in Guatemala. So I was going away for a couple of weeks. And so she flew out here by herself in November of 1986. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, she said, definitely not. We're not going there. I said, well, why not? She said, they have a stoplight.
No.
I said, okay. Yeah. But they whined and dined her and convinced her, and so we did move over here. And so I actually started working full-time in January of 87. And this place was in a depression, pretty severe depression, because interest rates had gone up very high in the mid-80s.
What were they? Do you remember? 11?
18, oh, no. 18 and 20%.
Oh, my God.
18 and 20%. So in 1982, everything crashed. A lot of buildings had been started here, but they'd stopped work on them, rebar sticking up all over. A lot of things construction sites were just boarded up. Mm-hmm. The ski area was here. Edgar Cern had just started Deer Valley, mm-hmm. but it was very low key.
Yeah.
Sundance had already started 2 years before that. Things were in a different place in those days.
It's lovely to
So Arlene said to me, I said, what do you want me to do? And she said, honestly, what you were doing in Colorado, can you do it here? I mean, can you show us how we can get the courage to become a resort town? Make something happen. That's what she said. That was the directions that stood in my mind. And I said, okay. And I wrote up like a 10-point plan. And I said, okay, here are the things that I see that you have to do. And that's what I started working on. Fix up Main Street, buy open space, do new signage, just change the whole mindset. I got accused of, all you're trying to do is Disneyfy this place. I said, well, let's be honest here. Disney is pretty successful, It's not, I mean, you're throwing that out like a curse, but, what they do is they're clean and they give good value and a lot of tourists want to go there. And yeah, there's something to learn from looking at what they're doing. I mean, but people were very, that's not our heritage. And said, yeah, but our heritage is like crumbling around you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to preserve the heritage, historic preservation. Yeah, we have to fix that up and we have to sell that because no place can afford to keep up. Every building is a museum area. You have to have an economy. Being a resort town has certain obligations, of hospitality and of facilities and infrastructure. And those things all have to come together and work together. And luckily, the chamber understood that. They were, instrumental in it. We had a lot of people understood it.
Mm-hmm.
Trails. I said, we need open space. We need trails. It was just I brought the first mountain bike here because we had already been mountain biking in Crested Butte for years. Before that,
wow.
No one had seen a mountain bike here.
Wow.
And I start taking people out on mountain bikes. But people aren't stupid here. They saw it. They said, this is what we have to do. And we have to build parks and we have to, we have to make it look like you want to spend money here.
Yeah.
I said, right now, if people come in here and don't want to spend money because it looks like a trash heap.
Yeah.
So we have to clean the whole thing up and we have to plant grass, which now, given the drought, doesn't sound so smart, but. I said, people come to like a resort area. They have an expectation in their mind of what this is going to look like. And so I really started working on buying open space because unlike a lot of other resort areas, which is surrounded by national forest, we're not here. It's all private land around us. So in order to keep a sense of openness, I knew we had to buy open space.
What did you buy?
Well, the first major thing we bought was the Osgathorpe Farm,
okay,
or the McPullen Barn. I said the entryway is vitally important to us. That's iconic. The barn, we could fix that up. And when it's coming in, you just have the sense of entry, like a front door. And, if you want to sell a house, you have a nice front door. And I said, that's our front door. We have to make that nice. And we have to have as much open space so we can have bike riding and stuff like that. Now, those are the things that I wrote on the list. And little by little, we chipped away at it and we raised money for it and we did it. For the Osgathorpe purchase, we purchased the barn and the farm out there, plus PC Hill, where the high school is,
mm-hmm.
plus there were a bunch of lawsuits involved. I think it was about $4.6 million.
Wow. When did you start the leadership program?
I tried to start the leadership program in 1989, but it was premature. Sometimes, as a planner, you're too far ahead of your time, We always said doctors bury their mistakes. Planners just put them in the bottom drawer, waiting for them to come out at a better, more auspicious time.
Right.
So I kept talking about that, and I started to organize community meetings, and talking about our future and what we need. And finally, someone said at one of those meetings, I think in 1991 or so, they said, yeah, we need more leadership. I said, oh, yeah, I have an idea. We really got it started up. I started working on it in 1993. Our first class was in 1995. And I would take people on these city tours, even before we had the leadership program, to other resort towns and said, you're hearing from me. Well, let me take you and show you, so you just see how it looks, because they're 10 years ahead of you.
So that's how it all started, the city tours.
Well, the city tours I actually started in Crested Butte in 1973 for the very same reason.
Right.
Crested Butte was falling down. And I said, we have to look at other towns that are more advanced because I always would say, let's steal from the best. I mean, we don't have to reinvent the wheel over and over here. See what works. Not everything can work that you see somewhere else. And I always caution people about that and said, you can't just parachute somebody else's solution into your gestalt or, you know, your community.
Well, anyways, it sounds like you've made your mark in Park City for sure. And the things that you've done have helped create this beautiful place. And I'm sure
place was here.
But I mean, like, I love going to a place and understanding how it became the place that it is now.
Yeah, and I feel that way too.
So otherwise, you're just kind of passing through it.
Well, that's it. I mean, so I grew up in Philadelphia around Quakers. And the Quakers always have this admonition. They say, when you drink from the well, remember you didn't dig that well. Mm-hmm. When you sit in the shade of the tree, remember you didn't plant that tree. And then the question, what wells will you dig? What trees will you plant? Mm. You know, that paying it forward. You know, when people would complain that we were Disneyfying, I would say guilty as charged. I mean, the biggest fight I ever had in my mind is when I put flower baskets on Main Street.
You did the flower baskets?
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
To fix up Main Street.
I love the flower baskets.
Of course, now everyone loves the flower baskets.
But at the time, that was the Disneyfying of it all.
Oh, my God.
The kickback of the flower baskets.
Oh, it was terrible. You know, like,
flowers.
You come here, you're trying to make this veil or aspen, blah, blah, blah. And flowers, we didn't have flowers like that hanging there. And blah, 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 yeah, we were a mining town. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, when's the last time you got a check from the mining company here? You know, and like 30 years ago? I mean, you know, we have to change. And I would say the same thing to people now. You know, we might have to change again more than you'd want to. But if you don't want this thing to fall into disrepair again, and maybe climate change will do that, I don't know. When some people look and say, what were those like things? I said, well, that was from the mining area, those towers going up the mountain. How about maybe some 50 years or 100 years? What were those things? He said, they were ski lifts. They said, they had skiing here? Now they're like pineapple groves up there? Yeah. Oh, okay.
God help us.
Yeah, God help us.
I can't. Okay. Oh, I mean, maybe it will. Who knows? Okay, we got to go because everybody's going to get
We're done.